Chapter 22. Murphy's car looked like it might have been through a war zone, and there were odd colored stains in the snow underneath it. As a result, we'd taken Michael's truck. I rode in the cab with Michael while Mouse rode in the back. Yeah, I know, not safe. But the reality of the situation is that you don't fit two people our size and a dog Mouse's size into the cab of a pickup. There wouldn't be any room left for oxygen. Mouse didn't seem to be the least bit distressed by the cold as we sallied forth to Union Station. He actually walked to the side of the truck and stuck his head out into the wind, tongue lolling happily. Not that there was a lot of wind to be had. Michael drove patiently and carefully in the bad weather. After the third or fourth time we passed a car that had slid up onto a sidewalk or into a ditch, I stopped tapping my foot and mentally urging him to hurry. It would take a hell of a lot longer to walk to Union Station than it would to drive with what was obviously appropriate caution. We didn't talk on the way. Don't get me wrong, it isn't like Michael is a chatterbox or anything. It's just that he usually has something to say. He invites me to go to church with him, which I don't unless something is chasing us, or has some kind of proud papa talk regarding something one of his kids has done. We'll talk about Molly's progress or weather or sports or something. Not this time. Maybe he wanted to focus his whole attention on the road, I told myself. Yeah, that was probably it. It couldn't have anything to do with me opening my big fat mouth too much, obviously. A mound of plowed snow had collapsed at the entrance of the parking garage, but Michael just built up a little speed and rumbled over and through it, though it was mostly the momentum that got him inside. The parking garage's lights were out, and with all that piled snow around the first level, very little of the ambient snow light got inside. Parking garages are kind of intimidating places, even when you can see them. They're even more intimidating when they're entirely black, except for the none-too-expansive areas lit by the glare of headlights. Well, I said, at least there's plenty of available spaces. Michael grunted. Who wants to travel in weather like this? He wheeled into the nearest open parking space, and the truck jerked to a stop. He got out, fetched the heavy sports bag he used to carry Amarakios in public and slung the bag from his shoulder. I got out, and Mouse hopped out of the back to the ground. The truck creaked and rocked on its springs, relieved of the big dog's weight. I clipped Mouse's lead on him and then tied on the little apron thing that declared him a service dog. It's an out-and-out lie, but it makes moving around in public with him a lot easier. Mouse gave the apron an approving glance and waited patiently until his disguise was in place. Service dog? Michael asked, his expression uncomfortable. He had a flashlight in his right hand, and he shone it at us for a moment before sweeping it around us, searching the shadows. I have a rare condition, I said, scratching the big dog under the chin. Can't get a date-itis. He's supposed to be some kind of catalyst or conversation starter, or failing that, a consolation prize. Anyway, he's necessary. Mouse made a chuffing sound, and his tail thumped against my leg. Michael sighed. You're awfully persnickety about the law all of a sudden, I said, especially considering you're toting a concealed weapon. Please, Harry, I'm uncomfortable enough. I won't tell anyone about your sword if you won't tell anyone about my gun. Michael sighed and started walking. Mouse and I followed. The parking garage proved to be very cold, very dark, very creepy, and empty of any threat. We crossed the half-buried street, Mouse leading the way through the snow. Snow's coming down thicker again now that the sun is down, Michael noted. Mab's doing, maybe, I said. If it is, Titania would be less able to oppose her power after the sun went down, which is also when Titania's agents would be able to move most freely through town. But aren't you certain it's Mab's doing? Michael asked. Nope. Could just be Chicago. Which can be just as scary as Mab some days.